annals of history, there has been some mighty duos.
Abbott and Costello.
Kirk and Spock.
Pippin and Jordan.
Mulder and Scully.
Batman and Robin.
Hawk and Keating. Well, maybe not that one.
Don't waste your time on me, son.
But you get the idea.
Now, from a small bedroom in Queanbeyan,
these two men
will try and make sense of the world with their words.
And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come to that.
The Ringer. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen,
and Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan.
Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
Scotty, I used to be on the Radio Masters.
And Ben, the Governor Edwards.
And away we go with episode 20. Wow, how did that happen? We would have been a bit further down if we didn't get the massive man flu halfway through the year, Benny.
Yeah, we've been... I was a bit crook this week, so I've been struck twice by the man flu.
Well, last week you showed up here on the Wednesday sounding a bit croaky. You go, oh, I'm not sick, man, I'm not sick. Thursday morning I woke up with a bloody sore throat again. And it's all thanks to you. It's all these millennials you deal with every bloody night at Mr. Wolf.
I was in denial I had a pretty ordinary week of training. I got set back about a week, but... Yep. I'll be well and truly ready to go on the night. But I was thinking about it at work. Like, I deal with, like, 500-plus people 3 nights a week.
Yeah.
And some of them are pretty unhygienic. Yeah.
The joys of being a bouncer.
My immune system, it definitely works overtime, but I'm on the mend now. And yeah. Looking forward to getting in this last week of training.
Nice, nice. Now, well, we've got plenty on the way. What's coming up in Bifurama this week, my friend?
We've got the Risen Japanese show from the weekend. Yeah. It's pretty much the Pride 2.0, the awesome Japanese MMA show. Yep. It's just no drug test. It's just freak school. But Jesus entertaining. I bloody love it. And also got a wrap up from the Fight Night? Well, it's probably frightful for some people. The Fight Night 95, the UFC from Brasilia, the capital of Brazil, with the cyborg, the baddest chick in the world, arguably. Oh, actually, nah. If you actually let everyone fight it their own way, she's probably the baddest chick in the world.
Yeah, you're right.
But she's just so much... Well, with the exception of this chick I'm going to talk about tonight, who's 110 kilos. She's the biggest, baddest chick in the world.
I saw you put a photo of her up on Facebook during the week. That chick's got bigger nuts than you and me put together, my friend.
Mate, I could say some ruder things, but I reckon she's got quite a few appendages.
Is it Wendell Saylor?
She used to fight in a jiu-jitsu thing at like under 74 kilos only like 4 years ago.
There's now been a lot of steroids there, hasn't there?
Now she's 110 air root. But her body fluctuates heaps because I first saw her when Vanderlei was doing the Ultimate Fighter with Chael Sonnen.
Yep.
And she was even bigger than what she is now. Like, not as ripped, but just swole. Just monster of a woman. And then she copped a lot of criticism from it. You know, steroids is, blah, blah, blah. She lost a lot of weight. She actually ended up looking like quite attractive. Like, she lost like 30, 40 kilos. Like, just looked like a real solid fitness model, but quite attractive.
Yep.
But she obviously fell on the pin again and she's back
fell on the pin.
Fell on the pin and she's back on the swell.
Anyway, we'll get to all that. That's coming up. Apparently within 50 years, we're all going to be banging the back end out of robots. So I'll be talking about that very soon.
It's not even that far away. Not even 50.
Probably not. But they reckon within the next 50 years, everyone's going to be doing it with droids.
Well, I reckon it's going to be amazing because I was sponsored by a Japanese sex toy company when I fought over him.
Really?
I had Tenga. On the back of my shorts, they gave me like $5,000 and a whole bunch of these toys that you root. Mate, they could have kept the $5,000 because I had a great time. It's like this. You look it up. It's Tenga, T-E-N-G-A. It's like a 10-pin that you make love to. It's awesome.
So every 3 or 4 episodes, you open up about something.
I gave all my friends one. They loved it.
Oh, well, we're going to catch up with Larry very, very soon. We're going to play the new Metallica later on, and we're going to go back
to
a segment. Yeah, it does. A segment we did a little while ago, Tales from the Door, because we've both been, well, you still are bouncing. I was a bouncer for years, and you get some pretty interesting stories when you do that for a living.
Yeah, we got some stories to tell.
Indeed we do. Indeed we do. Now, last week we played a request for probably one of the most naff songs of the 90s, but in a cool way, Wind of Change by the Scorpions. But the Scorpions in the 70s and 80s, they were like the most kick-ass rock band and released a bunch of great tunes. This one is one of their favourites and one of their most well-known songs, so I thought we'd kick off the podcast this week with it. It's Rock You Like a Hurricane. This is the way you do it, not the bloody... bloody horrible way Tom Cruise did it in Rock of Ages. Just no, Tom, no.
I'm happy I haven't seen that.
Oh, please, just don't watch it.
I'm out. Like to tell everyone that this is another back announce and it's going to be a successful one. That was Rock You Like a Hurricane by the Scorpions, and this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty and Ben, and we're about to go to our eye in the sky. Where is he, Scotty?
Mate, he's gone to Olympic Park in Sydney for the grand final.
He's all over those boys, isn't he?
Yeah, he even alludes. I think he's even going to allude to where he's going next week at the end of this report.
Can't wait.
Leather here with a grand final traffic report for the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Huge love goes out to the Raiders after their massive effort in the qualifier. Next year, boys, for sure. Olympic Park is already a hive of activity as they set up for the grand final. most seating reserved for Sharks fans and people that have jumped on the Sharks bandwagon because nobody really likes this Tom. Cam Smith's mother doesn't even like him, for Christ's sake. Buses and trains are definitely the go for getting to the game this weekend. Trust me, you don't want to be driving anywhere near the stadium. Too many lead-bashing, wax-headed, fin-dick, puberty-blues-loving, scallop-eating, sandman-driving Paul Gallen fans and two or three Melbourne supporters. I'll be back next week and I'm pretty sure I'll be high on petrol fumes. Do you know where I'll be? This is Lazza. Out.
One of them put Hopper to sleep within one round. The other had his career put to sleep as part of a business restructure.
Consider it severance pay. Take the train.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
It is a Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I'm going to say thanks to our wonderful sponsors, Lang's Auto. Now, Benny, I know you're looking for a new car. How is the search going? I've got a few people with irons in the fire for you.
Yeah, I've got a few mates on the lookout.
Yeah.
So I'm sure something will pop up.
I know Johnny Lang's got his ear to the ground for you too, because most people would look at you and see you in the ring and go, okay, cool, there's a guy. I can imagine what he drives,
big like
a Ford F-150 or something like that. Yeah. But your Facebook post to all your friends about what you're after, just explain what you were looking for in a car.
I'm all about practicality, man. I'm not the best parker.
Right.
I've never had a car accident or anything. Well, I've never had a car accident driving my car. I only borrowed my friend's car.
Right.
So, I'm a shit parker. I don't care if I don't have a big car. So, I just want a little convenient little buzz box.
You want a rice rocket, don't you?
Rice rocket backpack. I love it, man. The best car I've ever had was my Toyota Echo. That thing was a machine, man.
Yeah?
I had Hilux, SSU, SSU, and man, nothing was as reliable as my little Echo, man.
Well, mate, no matter what you buy, and we'll have to do a feature on it when you finally buy something, but no matter what you buy, the guys at Lang's will be able to look after it for you, get you completely sorted. Any mechanical dramas with it, mate, it'll be all taken care of.
It'll be bulletproof. I can buy a bomb and send it to them, and it'll be flawless, mate.
44 Yass Road, Queanbeyan is where you want to go if you want to go and check out the best mechanics in town.
He's a world champion with countless belts.
Super heavyweight champion, Ben Edwards!
And he's a guy who struggles to find a good fitting belt. You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Well, I thought this story might be a little bit shocking, this top five, Ben, but you've informed us at the top of the show. You were sponsored by a Japanese sex toy company once and you would have been happy just to take the sex toys, not the cash.
100%. I still would. Steve, anyone from Tenga's listening. There's plenty of room in the shorts.
If they've got a Facebook page, I'll tag them.
100%. In this
week. So there you go. So explain to me again what these things were that they gave you.
It looks like a 10 pin from a bowling alley.
Right.
But they come in a whole bunch of different shapes. It's just like this little, like a can of baked beans shape, rounded off sort of thing. And mate, let's just say the missus took a back seat for a few weeks because this thing was amazing.
Well, this has been running around the news for a couple of months, but the stories just keep getting published. Around 15% of British men would consider a romantic relationship with a robot.
It's going to happen.
The chaps who'd be up for courting a bot believe they could have a fulfilling emotional relationship with a lifelike machine.
I don't know about that.
I think a lot of blokes just think, oh, it's got an off button. So that's probably why blokes are happy with it. But however, the Sky News poll found only 2% of women would date a droid. Now, top academic Dr. Helen Driscoll believes humans having sex with robots will be the norm within 50 years.
I reckon it's going to be a lot quicker than that. According to listening to Joe Rogan's podcast.
Just because you bang cans of baked beans, Ben, don't read the rest
mate,
of us will.
Knock it too dry, man. American play ain't got shit.
Yeah, she says advances in technology will mean that they interact with you like a proper human does. And yeah, I mean, this is Blade Runner coming to life, essentially, is what it is. Now, one day, I'm sure, just like Terminator, robots will kill us all and we'll be left in a smoking crater in the ground. But getting down and playing the beast with two backs with something resembling C-3PO would have its issues, wouldn't it?
I'm pretty sure C-3PO would be the homosexual variety.
Not that there's anything wrong
not
with that.
Not at all,
that.
Not no. at all.
Anyway, it did get me thinking, so it's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top five.
Yeah, it's the top five drawbacks of sex with a robot. Okay?
So
you're all for it, Benny. I can see it in your eyes that you're keen. But
there's a time and a place.
Just think about this, okay, if any of these happen. It just keeps saying, who's your data?
Can you reprogram it?
I don't know. Number four, you come home from your mate's Bucks party or Randy and you get the inevitable, not tonight, dear, I'm defragging.
Defrag, it's like a word like moist, isn't it? It's just one of those words.
Moist is one of my favourite words.
You got issues, man.
It is one of the most hated words in the English language, apparently.
Yeah, I know, apparently. Man. It's defragging in my book.
Yeah, really? Number three in the top five drawbacks of sex with a robot. You keep asking your droid to take things to the next level and they just claim to have network connectivity issues with you.
There's some nerds that are just loving this.
Oh, man.
It's without- like a nerd's wet dream, man.
That's what the droids will be, surely. Number two, the whole time you're knocking the back end out of your droid, it's thinking about your lawnmower.
Oh, Victor.
drum roll, there it is. In number one, in the top five drawbacks of sex with a robot, you believe your robot is cheating on you and your private investigator confirms that it is indeed sleeping with the high ace at Lubemobile. That's why you should go to Lang's Auto.
Mate, if they come from Tenga... I'm telling you, it's going to be some good shit, man.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Dixon and Kayleen, and Lang's Auto Centre, Queanbeyan. He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So now it's time for Ben's Biff-a-rama.
That's insane to the membrane.
All right, it's been a big week in Biff, and Benny has got it all wrapped up for us, mate. Take it away.
Sure has, mate. Let's start with the Ultimate Fight Night 95 from Brasilia, Brazil, the capital of Brazil, the semi-main event, the mullet-wearing man with the big gut, the hard-hitting fan favourite, and the Season 10 Ultimate Fighter winner, Big Country Roy Nelson. He fought against...
Bigfoot,
Antonio Silva. Now, Nelson, as well as his notorious knockout power, he's also a legit jiu-jitsu black belt under Henzo Gracie, which gave him his belt in 2009. And Bigfoot, the Brazilian veteran, who's also a black belt in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, judo, and karate from when he was 13 years old, he's one of those guys who actually needs steroids for health reasons because he had an overactive pituitary gland.
He looks like the great Khali, doesn't he?
Well, mate, he had actual gigantism from overactive pituitary gland, but he had it actually removed.
Yep.
So he's been like that big since he was like 14. He's 6'4". And, mate, he used to fight in Japan like in 2013, early in like 2009, 2010, sorry. Yep. And he's like 145 kilos and actually looked really healthy.
Yeah,
so
right.
So for him to have to cut down to make the 120 kilo UFC weight limit, that's actually not in his... best interest health-wise. Yeah, right.
Can I ask you what was going on with Bigfoot's hair?
What
was going on there?
How good does he look? Mate,
when he fought Mark Hunt, it was just like the number one.
Mate.
That was it. But at the moment, he kind of looks like a Brazilian, Ringo Starr.
Mate, and I love Bigfoot. By all accounts, he's the nicest bloke ever. But when you got a head like an Easter Island statue, you got to do a bit of something to take the attention away. I thought his hair looked great.
Okay.
So, yeah, mate, go back to the steroid thing, though. He actually does need it for health reasons, but he's also one of the guys that has abused it. And as you're just talking about, he's fight of the year in 2013 with Mark Hunt.
Mm.
He actually he tested positive for steroids. Negative before the fight and positive after, so he must have jabbed that right before he went out.
Yeah, well, that's what Dana White said, didn't
he? Yeah, exactly right. Yeah. So he lost his win bonus and the 50 grand fight of the night bonus, which went straight to Mark.
Yeah, and
so,
Hunt broke his hand in that fight.
Mate, yeah, it was a mess for, it was 6 months, seven
six,
months.
Eight
he
months,
couldn't make money for, but what a fight. So, very cautious first round from both fighters, both very wary of each other's power. Roy finally caught up with Bigfoot in the second round, dropping him, and ended up standing over him, controlling his legs and landing right hands until the referee, Big John McCarthy, stopped it. So, Roy took offense to the seemingly late stoppage by flipping off Big John McCarthy, the ref. Giving him the bird straight after the fight and sort of half-jokingly kicking him in the butt.
Yeah.
Here's him discussing his post-fight antics.
And quickly, you seemed to take issue with the stoppage, maybe thought it was a little bit late. Was that why you were upset after the fight?
Yeah, no, when you knock somebody out, you already kind of know it's like a home run. I could do the Mark Hunt and just walk off. But for me, I just wanted to knock him out, but then I have to throw more punches in. He's my friend. I don't want to, like, he has to go to a family, and to me, it's like, I already know I already won. So it's like, what's the sense?
So Dana White has said since that Roy should be quote unquote buried for his actions, and you don't ever touch a ref.
No, you don't touch an official.
Never. Like, or you just you don't disrespect them by giving them the finger. Like, look how strict the NRL is with, with their player conduct policy. They'd be thrown out of the league for life if they did something like that. I remember even old Blocker Oach back in the day, the old head pat.
Yeah.
Mate, that's nothing on a flipping in the bird and a kicking kick in the ass. I think the one saving grace for him is that it happened in Brazil, not his hometown of Vegas, so they might be a bit more lenient with the punishment, but it's going to be interesting to see if the UFC themselves take some punishment into their own hands, because Roy Nelson, he's a bit of a pain in the ass to deal with by all accounts. He's had problems with Big John before, and him and Dana White butt heads all the time. Dana White has said he's the biggest underachiever in MMA. He walks in like 115 kilos, fat ass. And he's only got like a 50-50 record
in
the UFC. I think he's like 6-6 or something.
Okay.
But he should actually be fighting at 92 kilos. Like
Mate,
he's a solid guy, but he's got a. Like, I'm coming in chubby and all that in a few fights, don't get me wrong, but he's got a full bone gut.
Yeah.
And he's an awesome athlete, man. Like, legit jiu-jitsu black belt under Henzo. He doesn't give out black belts easily.
No.
And awesome knockout power. If he actually got down to his proper fighting way, who knows what he could do, mate.
Yeah.
So, but he's 40 years old now, so I think if he was going to do it,
he would have done it already. Yeah.
So,
just going back to you talking about the officials, I agree with what you said, although I would have had no dramas if Ricky Stewart had a run onto the field last Saturday and headbutted the ref for not looking at Cooper Cronk's first try. That ball still hasn't been grounded to this day.
Yeah, I saw that.
Was not grounded.
And amongst a few other decisions as well, like the ball floating forward and things like that, you can clearly see it went backwards. If it was a torpedo, it would have, but...
Yeah, I know. Anyway, but there's a few refs that occasionally can do with it.
There's always problems. Like, everyone always complains about the ref every game, but that was actually noticeably... not fair.
Oh, and then the video getting around of Cam Smith running in and kneeing Jared Croker in his bad leg.
That's
and
what I was about to say.
No one said a word about it because the NRL's too busy giving hand jobs to Cameron Smith. Seriously. Oh, I'll give you another hand job, Cameron. Just settle down. Like, what the fuck is going on?
I didn't even see that during the game.
No, they didn't. And I didn't see it during the game either.
That was crazy. That was very, very noticeable. So. Yeah. Moving on to the main event, we got Cyborg, and her name's not Chris Santos anymore. She went back to her maiden name, so I've been saying it wrong I think she's been divorced about 5 years now, so missed the boat by 5 years. But her maiden name is Christine Justino.
Okay.
But let's just call her Cyborg. So after a brutal 5-day weight cut where Cyborg dropped 25 pounds to weigh in at the catch weight of 140 pounds, the UFC doesn't have a female 140-pound division or 145 pounds. They've only got the bantamweight of 135 pounds where Ronda was the champ. So controversially, after the weigh-in, there was a pic of her on the scale saying that she was 141.5 pounds. So if that's true... she would have been made to weigh in within 2 hours or face financial penalties if not be disqualified from the match. So if that was in Vegas, that definitely would have happened. But it's a Brazilian fighting in Brazil, and she's the main event. I think they turned a bit of a blind eye to that. And, mate, she looked like death getting on the scales. And there's some shocking footage of her cutting weight, all wrapped up in blankets and in a sweatsuit and in a salt bath. It's just shocking. And she's just going into this crazy, like, religious rant about Jesus and all this stuff, man. I wouldn't be surprised if she started bleeding from her freaking hands. Like, it was full-on exorcist stuff. Pretty crazy. And, obviously the fight didn't go very long. She's fighting a UFC newcomer from Sweden, Lena Landsberg. Super tough chick. But, Cyborg. So, finally caught up to her in the second round after a very patient 2 rounds, which is unlike Cyborg. Usually, she goes for the kill. But her coach said, take it easy.
Yep.
Take your time, which she certainly did to her credit. And got the second round stoppage via second... obviously, in the second round. I'm not even going to edit
You're
that
on fire
there.
Tonight, man. You're on fire.
Thank God for editing,
You're thinking
man.
About them Tenga bloody toys still,
man.
Are you?
I'm putting an order in. I'm getting the credit card out, man. So, got the second round stoppage. Dana said after that Ronda is definitely keen for the fight with her, but there's no way Cyborg makes 135 pounds. Like, theoretically, she didn't even make 140 pounds. Like, they give you 1 pound leeway.
Leeway, yep.
But, mate, it's crazy for her to try and get to 135 and 140. Man, that's life-threatening stuff. And in the actual cage, you can see she was a much bigger woman than Lena. Lena didn't even cut any weight. She just weighed in 140.
Yep.
But in the ring, Cyborg could have been about 170 pounds.
Yeah,
so that's like a 65-kilo person versus a 77-kilo person of lean muscle.
Yeah.
So you can see, like, just a huge lady versus a smaller lady. So, but apparently, Ronda will be back at the end of the year or early next year. She's back in fighting shape and in the gym. So, we'll see what happens there. Now,
interesting to see where her head's at.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think she's either going to come. I think she'll come back all right. She's a champ, mate. Yeah. I think she's got that mongrel in her. She's a real fighter at heart. And I think she's going to come back with a vengeance. But you never know, man. You never know. Some people you think you're going to do that, but once you get your card punched like that, your lights shut off. Fortunately, that hasn't happened to me. Yeah, the day will come.
Yep.
But, you know, when you get shut off and you're waking up with a flashlight in your eyes and the doctors, you know, that'd be a pretty shocking, it'd be a shocking experience. So, Ryzen, well, this is the third show Ryzen have put on, which is headed by the legendary Japanese Pride president, Saki Gabara. So, this show is basically Pride 2.0. And, the first show, they had their first show at December last year, and this was their third show, the second one being in April. So unlike the UFC, as I touched on before, there's no drug testing, weight divisions aren't a problem, and the Japanese love the freak show fights, which are done properly. They're quite entertaining, but when they're badly matched up, it can be bowling shoe ugly. Like, there's been fights with like Bob Sapp and Akabano, and that's just like 500 kilos of human, and they're just so big, they're just slow and awkward and laying on each other. Bit of a, you know, it can be bloody ugly, but geez, it can be entertaining too. So let's start with 110-kilo Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world champion black belt. Now, 110 kilos, that's 50 kilos heavier than what Ronda Rousey fights at. So she's a monster of a lady. She took on the American lady Destain Yarborough with absolutely no fighting experience, just a tough chick with an NFL background.
Yeah, right.
So she got taken down and not unsurprisingly subbed in the second round. There's no chicks even close to her size, so I've no idea what they're going to do with her in the future except for freak show fights like this one. So moving on to Crazy Horse, Charles Bennett.
This guy's a nutbag, isn't
he? Mate, have a listen. He, Charles Crazy Horse Bennett, who now wants to be known as Felony, got a 7-second KO against Minoru Kimura, making his MMA debut after a successful kickboxing career. Bennett originally made a name for himself back in Pride, being a super talented killer be killed fighter with a very entertaining but poor 50-50 record. He's known for his very entertaining walkouts and pre-fight and post-fight antics. There's an urban legend that at a Pride show, he got into a fight with Pride legend and UFC legend Wanderlei Silva and actually KO'd Wanderlei. And there is footage of Bennett getting into a fight with Wanderlei's shooter box teammates and getting choked out by the team's jiu-jitsu coach Cristiano Martello. The footage stops when Bennett wakes up, which is when he claims he woke up and KO'd Wanderlei. And this story has actually been confirmed quite a few times, so it's more than just a rumor. The two had words in the hotel before his last fight and backstage after the fight. Now, have a listen to Bennett calling out Wanderlei in possibly the best post-fight speech ever. So, he does drop the N-bomb, so don't anyone get offended. So, have a listen.
Konnichiwa! Hey, I'd like to say, I would really like to thank the Japanese people and the Ryzen organization. Man, the celebration was more work than the fight. Hey, thank y'all for having me, man. Y'all know I miss it here. Y'all know I miss it here. This is real love out here. The Japanese people always showed me real love. So guess what I just did for you guys? I returned the fight 7 seconds. That's the quickest paycheck I've ever made. Not only that, where's Candy Lane? Candy Lay?
Candy I'm not gonna even say Lay.
But 300K. For the record, you know what happened 2005.
Oh my.
That's why you're still salty. That's why you still want to try to get some with this. But you can't get none with this unless we put it on contract. We put it on contract, then you can get some. behind your big steroid head ass. See me? I'm a nigger, and I run fast.
It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. Now, I saw Crazy Horse fight in Penrith back in 2009. It might have even been 2008.
Okay.
At the Penrith Panthers Club there. And he's walked out to the
ring. Was it in a sanctioned fight or just in the pokey room?
Yeah, the king of the cage. Yeah. King of the cage.
Yeah, right.
And, mate, he walked out. The guy's got stab wounds all over his kidney, like 10 scars, like 2-inch scars from stab wounds.
Yeah, right.
He's got 11 siblings with 11 different fathers. He's been locked up over a dozen times in the last 10 years. So the guy's at
a- So he's a quality human being.
Crazy Horse is an apt nigga. But, mate, if you're one of 11 siblings, your mum's got 11 brother, you know, had 11 kids, still 11 dads.
Different dads. You're going to be making a lot of noise to be noticed.
You've got no chance, man. You've got no chance. Now, Vanderlei is actually scheduled to fight Krokop for the third time on the New Year's Eve show, which is an epic fight between two legends who own the greatest stare down of all time. And Bennett, who is a much smaller man, he fights at like 70 kilos. And Vanderlei has fought as low as 84, but spent most of his career at 92. But as I said before, the Japs aren't too concerned about weight divisions, and they love a storyline. So I reckon they'll be fighting each other early next year, as long as Vanderlei doesn't get KO'd cold for the sixth time in his career and the second time by Mirko Krokop.
Yeah, right.
As I think I've touched on before in this show, that Vanderlei actually went to the Mayo Clinic in America, and he's got 13 out of 15 of the chronic traumatic encephalopathy
issues
symptoms,
with brain,
which is punch drunk. Mate, and he's still fine. And so basically in 10 years, he's going to be a full-blown vegetable.
Yeah.
I think he obviously knows it's going to happen. I think he just wants to go out guns blazing. So
yeah, right.
Pretty crazy stuff. It was a bit late for me to get any audio of it today, but they had the UFC New York press conference.
No, I've got it for you.
And do you?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, beautiful.
I knew you'd want this, Ben.
Oh, you're ready to go, mate. That's how good is that? So, obviously, Conor McGregor got confirmed to fight Eddie Alvarez for the lightweight title. So, Conor can be the first simultaneous champion of two weight divisions in the UFC. They had the press conference today from the theater at MSG where I fought back in 2013. There's some audio gold from that, so have a listen.
You know, I feel Eddie, I've nothing against.
Careful,
him.
Be careful.
I've nothing against Edward.
Oh, whoa.
Careful.
What you gonna do? Oh, whoa. You gonna do something over there?
Be careful.
Shut your mouth. New York. I won this whole and Mystic Mac predicts I'm gonna KO you inside one round.
I'm very happy with the 155 pound weight limit. I feel of all the divisions I've ran around and ran through, 155 I feel will be the one where I will take over the most, so I look forward to that.
I'm gonna wrap one on one shoulder. I'm gonna wrap the other on the other shoulder, and you're gonna need a f***ing army to come take them belts off me.
Yeah, I mean, it's the world's most famous arena. Look at these fans. I mean, this is what it's all about. It's a lifelong dream to fight here. I've been lobbying with the UFC since 2010, I think, you know, so I deserve to be here, and I'm happy to put on a show for these guys.
I've been whooping his style, I've been whooping that style a long, long time. He's a stocky, stuffed wrestler with an overhand, that's it. So I've been beating these guys up.
Tell him the truth. You ain't got a shot. Tell him the truth. You ain't got a shot.
One round you're gonna
see. You ain't got a shot.
One round
your coach knows you ain't got a shot.
One round.
And anybody who knows anything about
you and your
coach knows you ain't got a shot.
And your coach.
You ain't got a shot.
Conor, one more question.
You're here because you're the easiest dude in this division. That's why you're here.
He's gonna be shooting for his life. But it's a long 25 minutes in there. I can hit you from anywhere. And that's what's gonna happen to him. He's gonna be shooting, panicking, I'm gonna be hitting him from everywhere. Sooner or later, he's gonna fall. One of those elbows, one of those shots are gonna dig into that soft, sweet spot into the temple, and that's all she wrote. Two-weight world champion, UFC history, New York, the Irish are back.
So I've no idea what you just played, Scotty, but I'm sure it was all the best stuff.
It was awesome.
It was so that I can't wait.
I just
the trash
talk
is going to be awesome.
Oh, I mean, these two are going to be all over each other.
Eddie Alvarez, mate, he's no bum. He's a legit wrestler, and he's, mate, you know, he trains out of the gym where they actually filmed Creed in Philadelphia.
Yeah, right. I just love that question from the crowd in the press conference.
That yeah,
just
that gave guy. Him,
he's going, what are you saying? What's your question? And he's just like, why are you talking shit?
How good was that? Yeah. Like, I reckon Connor just slipped that guy $5,000 on the way to the door.
Probably. It's probably a bloody relative.
What a legend. But it's true, though. Like, Eddie's only gone to the 5 rounds twice and lost once. So Connor's, you know, he had his troubles with Nate, but you come out of a fight like that, a much more seasoned veteran, man, so.
And he's going to be dropping weight, getting down to probably more where he wants
he's a lightweight. To be anyway. He walks around at 168, he's got to get to 155. Yeah. That's nothing.
Yeah.
He walks around 168 after two breakfasts.
Yeah.
So he's a 155 pound. He's a natural 70 kilo guy. Yeah.
So this is the division he should be fighting
in. Yeah, well, this is the division he used to fight in in his promotion in Ireland, where he was a two-weight world champ back then as well.
Yeah, because he looked bloody gaunt and like a skeleton when he took on Aldo.
Dude, at 145, especially, I think he had a tougher weight cut when he fought Chad Mendes, which was supposed to be the original.
Oh, he looked sick.
Mate, he looked like, and I don't say this like he looked like just come out of Auschwitz. It was awful.
Yep.
He did this interview, and it still pops up on my YouTube.
His eyes were sunken in the back of his head.
Mate, he looks on the verge of death, and that is not an exaggeration. He looked awful. But what they're doing now, I've touched on it before, but they're doing the weigh-ins 8 hours earlier, so the fighter gets an extra 8 hours to rehydrate.
Yep.
So I think he probably could make the weight again, but I think he's happy with what he's done at lightweight.
Yeah,
at featherweight, and he's going to step up to lightweight and ruffle some feathers there, mate. Yeah, so nice. We'll obviously have more on that next week.
Yep.
But for this one, it's a wrap.
Two men, two microphones, and no idea.
When you put your hand into a bunch of goo that a moment before was your best friend's face, you know what to do.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty Masters and Ben, the Governor Edwards.
Time to thank another wonderful sponsor of ours. We love the butcher shop, Benny Dixon and Kayleen. I bet you haven't been there again because you're slack and you've been sick and you need to get some steaks, cover them in garlic, mate, and you'll be fine.
I was there today, man.
Oh, you were?
I'm loaded
there
up.
There you go. I'm look at that. Up. See, you're looking pretty cocky there when I started giving it to you.
I saw Flat Top Ian and he's who's his sidekick's name, the tall fella?
Ses? Yeah, Ses. Well, yeah. Everyone,
is that his name?
Everyone calls him Ses.
I'm calling him Ses.
Yeah.
Great blokes, mate. Now I'm loaded up, I'm T-boned up. I've got these chicken, I've got my lamb jumbucks.
Oh, yeah, you got the jumbucks with the chicken, sweet potato on top. Yeah,
and I got my chicken things that you put in the oven.
Chicken delights wrapped in bacon?
No, bacon. Just chicken. I think they got feta and stuff in them.
Oh, yeah.
I haven't seen them there before, but geez, they're the course. I'm having them for dinner tonight.
Well, mate,
so wait for me.
There you go. And they've just releasing, it'll come out the day of this podcast, their own take on bangers and mash. So it's one of their thick Aussie beef snags wrapped in mashed potato, caramelized onion, then wrapped in puff pastry.
Shit.
Yeah. Bloody so if you had to choose between that and one of those Japanese sex toys, that would be a hard task, that one.
Well, funny you say sausage and Japanese sex toy. They'd probably go hand in hand.
Oh, I don't know where this ad for the butcher shop's gone, but Dixon and Kayleen is where you will find on Canberra's best meat, and they're going to start taking orders in the next week for their famous Christmas hams. So if you don't want to miss out on one of those, get an order in, because I think they sold like 2,500 last year and were turning people away.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Indeed. So get to the butcher shop, folks. It's awesome.
The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast is recorded in a bedroom in front of one very disinterested diamond python and occasionally a ginger cat called Alan.
Alan! Alan! Alan!
Oh, that's not Alan. Steve, that's Steve.
Scotty and Ben's Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
So, no local music this week, Scotty. What do you got for us, mate?
Mate, thought we'd play the new Metallica. I just want to put another shout out to all the Canberrans that listen to this podcast of ours. I know we get listened to all around the world, but to all the Canberrans, if you know anyone that's a muso, tell them to get in touch with us. They can find us on Facebook. They can email us. They can tweet us. We want to play local music. We want to support local bands and give them a bit of a stage. So if you've got music recorded, get it to us so we can play it on the show. So get to it. Well, it's not through lack of trying. We're trying to promote
Canberra. We will play anything.
Indeed, we will. And it seems Metallica have really gone back to the well back to when their true fans would say they were cool.
Yeah, I mean, I thought they got pretty close to with the Death Maiden Antic album, but they've definitely reached another level here.
Yeah, this new album is going to be sensational. The new single that's been released this week is called Moth Into Flame.
And I reckon it's better than their first single that they released.
Yeah, Hardwired, I think that was called. Yeah. And this week was the 30th anniversary of the death of Cliff Burton.
Yeah, died in a bus accident in Sweden.
Yeah.
30 years ago to the day. I actually became not Facebook friends, but I liked the page that is dedicated to Cliff, but his dad actually runs the page.
Oh, really?
And there's a photo there's a famous photo of Cliff when he's got his two fists up to the camera with the skull rings on each finger. And his dad, modern day, is reenacting that photo. It's so cool.
Yeah, nice, nice. Well, if you're a Metallica fan back in the old days, because it's the one thing I can't stand about the early Metallica albums is how shit they sound from a production standpoint.
Yeah.
Like, they just sound horrible.
Right, up to a Black Album.
Until the Black Album. And that's what happens when you let a lead singer, guitarist, and drummer mix the albums. Yeah. All you hear is the guitar. The vocals and the drums.
Well, and Justice for All was just the James and Lars show.
Pretty much.
Jason Newsted didn't even have to be there.
He didn't. He looked good in the film clips.
Yeah.
But that was about it.
I think they resented him so much after Cliff passed away, because Cliff was like the Jimi Hendrix of bass.
Man. It was a big ask coming into that band after that.
But how do you feel those shoes?
Rob Trujillo does a fantastic job. Check this out. It's Metallica's new one, Moth Into Flame.
People who really want to have a good time won't come to a slaughterhouse. And we've got entirely too many troublemakers here. Too many 40-year-old adolescents, felons, power drinkers, and trustees of modern chemistry.
Oh, and there he is, the most famous bouncer of all time, Dalton.
The one and only.
Yeah, how good is that
Pain
movie?
Don't hurt. I actually might be able to get a guest in for us in the next week or two.
Okay.
Who's actually a distant relative of Dalton.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave that there.
Of Patrick?
Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see. Mine, no, not Patrick.
Do I know this person?
It's actually Dalton.
Oh, of the actual Dalton. Yeah, right. Okay. Okay. That'll be interesting.
Because we all know Roadhouse was a biography.
It was a rumor.
It was a biopic.
Just like Rocky and Karate Kid,
exactly
right?
Yeah. Right.
So this is a little segment we've done, I think, once on the show before and proved pretty popular about tales and things that happened to us when we were bouncing. Now, Benny obviously still does it at Mr. Wolf and about the place. I stopped doing it years ago when I got smart and went, no, I'm done with this. Just as I started to take off, I think. And then Crystal
went,
so good that I got out of it then. But anyway, Benny, you've obviously got plenty of stories. What do you got for us?
Well, since I asked you off air, you're going to do your story's related to a bit of female violence. Mm-hmm. I guess I could add one to that too. I was working at a club in Kingston about 10 years ago now.
Yep.
And there was this 60, she would have been in her 60s, and she's just sitting there by herself and she's just getting plastered. She was there for about 3 hours.
Yep.
And she started swearing people as they walked past. And
this, so a crazy cat lady.
Yeah. And this guy's just gone up and just asked, oh, you know, are you okay? Like, what's the matter? And she's told him to F off and all this, and sort of like stumbled up, half holding on to the guy and like bit him on the arm. So I've grabbed her and, you know, 120 kilo me grabbing a 6-year-old lady. It's not the best look, but I'm just sort of grabbed her and she's trying to bite me and hit me in the pills. I'm walking around with my arms straight, just holding her shoulders, and she's just violent as. And I've walked around. We had a full lineup, and all people see is this big ass bouncer dragging this old lady out.
Yep.
And I was like, as non-physical as possible. I'm just trying to protect myself.
Reasonable force.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I walked to the road. Everyone's just swearing at me. The camera phones are out. And I've left her on the street. Didn't push her off or nothing. I'm just gone, you know, have a good night. The cabs are there. See you later. Walk back to the door. She's gone to run up to attack me, or I don't know what she's done. She's just fallen ass over. So there's people from the line have gone to help her up. And then she started attacking the people in the line that went to help her up. And I just let it go for
street
about 30
karma.
Seconds. And I said, see, you don't know what happened. Like, she just attacked the guy inside. Don't pretend you know what's going on until you know what started the bloody situation. So I was so happy. I let him go for about 30 seconds. I go, no, you can handle that, you idiot. Camera phone that. Dickhead.
Oh, dear.
Hope you got hepatitis.
You just, and that's the thing. People come in on the back end of an issue and they don't know why you're throwing someone out of a pub.
Oh, you think you're tough.
Yeah, they give you grief.
Yeah, I love throwing out grannies. This really makes my day.
I'd only been bouncing for a few weeks. Like, I hadn't been doing it long and got to the pub early one day and they're like, oh, there's three people down playing pool around the corner. They've been here all day on it. Get rid of them. So I go down there and there's two dudes and a girl. And the dudes were just being typical dudes. I mean, it's time to go. You've had enough. Please leave. And they've given me a gobful. I'm like, fellas, just go, because this will get awkward. And I've turned around to move one of them on, and she smashed a pool cue over my back.
Shit.
So it dropped me because it hurt.
Yeah.
Like, it really hurt. Anyway, so I've picked her up and put her out. She's clawed my arms as I've thrown her out and put her out, locked the door. She's banging on the door and the publican starts laughing. And I said, what are you laughing at? He said, oh, you got off lightly. And I went, what do you mean? He said, sure, she was here last night. Some dude grabbed her on the boob, which obviously he shouldn't have done. She pretended to be into it, starts tongue-kissing him at the bar, and bit his tongue off and spat it in the cigarette trough of the bar.
Wow.
My question was, why the fuck was she in the pub today? Yeah. Why didn't you bar her? Why didn't you get rid of her? But, so this bird, had bit a guy's tongue off the night before.
I think my mate Stoyed like that. He's a bit of a masochist, old Stoyed. That's crazy. How's she not in jail?
That was the other question.
That's,
I don't know.
That's beyond grievous bodily harm.
Yeah, well, this bloke obviously didn't press charges, and I never heard any more about it. And she was
probably couldn't talk.
Never saw her in the pub again after that. But, apparently she bit his tongue off. And I saw the camera footage. I was played the footage that they had from the night before. And, she bit. because he was losing his mind after she bit his tongue off, as you would.
You don't French chick. Don't French kiss crazy chicks, man.
Well, you don't try and French kiss a chick you've just molested as well. Like, you just don't do that for a start. But, yeah,
man,
anyway.
People like that, though, they're not long for this world.
No, they're a bit tight.
God knows what happened there.
Yeah, indeed. So
it's probably related to the granny I kicked out. They love a bite.
Maybe. May have been Nan up at may have been granddaughter up at Mossvale. Who knows? So, folks, next time you see a bouncer putting someone out of a pub, they're probably doing it for a very good reason. Yeah. Most bouncers don't go around throwing people out to stroke their own egos.
Yeah, he's always especially in these days. We don't think we're tough. We're there to do a job, you idiot.
Yeah, we're trying to keep it safe for everyone else, you morons.
You know what I said to a chick once? I stole a joke off, what's his name, Jimmy Carr.
Oh, yeah.
This chick is just blowing up at me. Like, oh, you think you're tough, blah, 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 all the stereotypical shit they say. And I've gone, yeah, well, I don't knock the sailor's cocks out of your mouth when you're at work, so you f*** off.
Need advice?
You've come to the wrong place. But Scotty and Ben will have a crack at your conundrum anyway. It's listener question time.
Indeed it is. And our listener question time this week, he also gets our listener request.
He's doubling up.
Put them on the Facebook last week and they're both good. So I thought, well, let's ask him. So Michael Clark on our Facebook, not the ex-cricket captain, just another Michael Clark, has a question for you, Benny. Do you have any plans for after your fighting career? Now, I know you've still got plenty of years left.
Yeah, I will say, mate, you never know. This career can be over pretty quick.
Yeah, with injury and stuff.
Yeah, you never know, mate. Yeah. And when the day comes where I don't want to do it anymore, I'm going to walk away. I'm definitely going to open a gym and train people. The amount of privates I've knocked back over the years is just unbelievable. But I only train like a handful of friends at the moment, like maybe 3 or 4 people a week. I really enjoy training friends and stuff. But to train beginners when I've got like a high-level fight coming up, it does take away from my training a little bit. It takes away from my passion for the sport.
Yep.
But definitely when I retire, I'm going to open a gym. I'm going to train people.
Okay.
I want to get my security master license. I quite actually don't mind the nightclub work. I'm good at my job. I can, you know, stop situations from happening. Obviously, I have the physical presence
to back it up if you need to, and to
minimalize, you know, collateral damage if things do get violent. And, you know, I'm nocturnal anyway, as I've said before, so I would like to get into the position where I'm running security at a few nightclubs.
Okay.
And also, I love doing this. I love, love doing the podcast. Hopefully, we can keep it going for the next couple of years. And, look forward to, you know, if any other broadcasting opportunities come up, I'll definitely take them as well.
That's it, mate.
That's the plan.
There you go. So, gym, security, and podcasting.
Yeah, what I'm doing now.
Look out, world. Look out.
On the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
I think we got a show.
Oh, yeah, we got a show.
It's listener request time.
To liven things up.
So Michael's, he's had the question of the week, which I just answered very articulately.
You did.
Now, he's doubling up. And he's got a song request.
Well, he does. And I thought, well, we haven't done that before. We haven't given someone a double bunger. And
it's a bifactor.
Such a great, great song
It's timeless.
And I mean, the film clip in Swanson Street, Melbourne with Akadaka on the back of the flatbed truck.
Yeah, that's iconic.
Oh, just, it's awesome is what it is. And this song was awesome until John Farnham ruined it. John Farnham, fantastic singer, great performer. Never should have covered this song, ever.
The AC/DC time.
No, he doesn't have the voice. And you know you don't, John, and you shouldn't have done it, and you're feeling sorry for yourself. So he's Angus.
Have another comeback tour.
He is. He is. He's touring at the end of the year.
How many comebacks is that?
Oh, shit. I don't know.
So they're saying more comebacks than John Farnham. It still keeps growing.
It does, man. Yeah,
it has more impact every couple of years. My mum's best friend, Tina, she's like a hardcore John Farnham fan.
Yeah.
And she went to his original farewell.
The last time.
Whenever that was. Yeah,
that was 2003.
Yeah, she went to that. And she was actually really disappointed in him after that because that was-
My mum too. My mum can't stand him anymore. It's like, you said you were retired. You keep coming back. What are you doing?
It seems like a bit of a sellout when you say there's a whole retirement thing. Like, you just keep touring every couple of years. You don't have to say it's your retirement tour.
Yeah, just say you're taking a hiatus.
Yeah, exactly. What else are you going to do?
I don't know. Let's just play the song, shall we?
We'll be right back.
That was AC/DC with It's a Long Way to the Top. And who's your... Oh, and this is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I didn't screw it up.
There you go. Now, that's two quality back announcers this week.
Yeah, that was about 90%, that one.
Yeah.
That's a pass. That would have been 50% a pass.
Good for community radio and commercial radio. You would have been hauled over the coals for that one.
Fired. you just don't appeal to the demographic we're looking for anymore.
Oh, yeah, I heard that. Yeah. That was about 12 months ago. Yeah, I heard that. Mate, next week on the show, no idea what we're doing. Don't even know if Stevie P will be back because he's stuck in Bali, isn't he?
He's trapped.
Yeah. I still was laughing. Like, for 3 days, I was laughing over the whole chlamydia thing last week. That was sensational.
Oh, Stevie.
I was sitting here Thursday morning editing the podcast, putting it together, pissing myself. And the pets are looking at me going, what are you laughing at? It was gold.
Sorry, Stevie. Yeah.
No,
he's probably just relaxing on the beach.
Sipping
a Bing Tang on our tax dollars.
Yep. Yeah, but the ash cloud has stopped him.
So, yeah.
Yeah, there you go. We'll see if he's going to be back. And hopefully Josh Tonner will join us on the show in coming weeks as well.
We'll get him in. He's fighting in K1.
Yeah, K1, man. Yeah, how awesome busy. Is that? Yeah,
K1 for the smaller guys. That's the premier organisation at the moment. So he's one of the top guys in the world at the moment. Yeah. So it's going to be good to get him in. He's a great bloke.
Training hard, working hard. He's had 500 fights in the last 2 months, hasn't
he's
he?
He's a humble champion, mate.
Indeed. So we'll get to that. But right now it's time for Uppercut of the Week. And
you've always got someone to uppercut.
Yeah.
You're an angry man.
Last week it was Skype who'd pissed me off. This week I'm going to get, and I've got some mates who are Cronulla fans, and I do hope that Cronulla wins the grand final this weekend because, one, they've never won one, and two, Melbourne Storm, right? So I hope they do get up. But when Ennis came out this week and went, we're going to steal Canberra's Viking clap for this weekend.
What the hell?
I know, and then people out there, but the Raiders stole it from the Vikings and Icy. Yeah, we know that, but the Raiders,
they're
Vikings.
Yeah.
Their mascot is Victor the Viking.
Yeah.
What the f*** is a shark got to do with, sharks can't clap. They've got fins.
The Raiders come from the raiding.
That's what the Vikings used to do. Ragnar Lothbrok. That's what it's all about. So there's no tie-in whatsoever to the Sharks to do this. So you can understand why the Raiders took it.
What's been their excuse for it? It's like, it's not a clap. It's someone who's getting attacked by a shark waving for help. Yeah. Well, have they tried that
angle? I don't know. Is that what it is? It'd be a little bit more manic,
if I was a defence lawyer.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just too many fin dicks in Cronulla, and this is what's happened. So I don't know if they'll even do it on grand final day.
Shit. You can't do that.
Yeah, maybe they should run out in green jumpers too.
Yeah.
I don't know. But I do hope the Sharks win. I've got a few mates that are really big Sharks fans, and I'd like to see. And I used to work for Gavin Miller in Goulburn. I bounced and DJed at his pub. So I'd like to see the Sharks get up.
But it's even worse after.
Find your own crowd thing.
Yeah. And it's even worse after Ennis rubbed it into the Raiders fans after
they won the semi. I did see Mick Ennis come out in the press today saying he'd love to cap off the year with picking up his first ever Australian Test hooker jumper, because there's the Four Nations over in England.
Yeah.
So the only way that's going to happen is if he takes out Cameron Smith in the grand final this weekend and hobbles him.
Battle of the grubs.
Yeah. And that's it. It will be, won't it? It's going to be a grubby, grubby game.
Yeah, interesting to see what happens there. You reckon Hodgson's in with any chance?
For Dally M tonight, yes.
Or for the hooker position?
For England, he is, yes, because he's a Pom, yeah.
Doesn't he have Australian citizenship?
No, mate, no.
He's only been here for like 3 years, hasn't he?
Yeah, 2 years, man. No, he'll be playing for England.
Shit. He's good, man.
Well, I mean,
we've got to get him.
Well, I mean, as we're recording this, the Dally M's are happening in Sydney, and there's a very good chance he'll take out the Dally M this year. So,
do you reckon his form has been that good all year, or it's just the second half of the year
he's been killing it? Mate, he's been the reason. Like, I remember round three, he basically won the Raiders a game.
Yeah.
So, no, I think he's had a bloody good season. For him.
And
so,
what about our mate old Vaughny getting to sign? Did he get signed to the Dragons?
No, he hasn't yet, because I texted him yesterday going, WTF Dragons, because, there were talks around Newcastle.
That's not how you smell nights.
No, that's pretty much. And I just sent, WTF Dragons, you cut me deep, Shrek. And he just sent back going, I've been getting messages all day. It's just rumours, which in footy speak is he probably hasn't signed on the dotted line yet. But
who knows? They announced it.
Yeah. Hey, listen, you haven't given Ennis the uppercut yet, so you ready?
I'm ready.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's from an actual Viking.
Yeah, there you go.
To your chin.
He wouldn't last long.
I'll bring a pickaxe next time, man. If he busted out in the grand final, I'm going to give him a proverbial pickaxe.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens. So we'll have a bit of a wrap with the NRL Grand Final next week and plenty more on the show. So thanks for joining us, folks. And, yeah, we'll see you next week. Get a big black dog up ya.
See you, folks.
Well, that's a wrap. Not sure if we solved the problems of the world, but if we didn't, Ben can put those problems to sleep with a well-timed ride. And then Scotty can write a scathing diatribe and give them another tongue-lashing in the next episode of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Hey, at least they played some kick-ass music, right? This podcast couldn't be made possible without our sponsors, Lang's Auto Centre in Queanbeyan and the butcher shop Dixon and Kayleen. Until next time.